Greetings in the name of our covenant-keeping God. I draw your attention this evening to the scripture, which is found in John's account of the gospel. John's account of the gospel, the third chapter, reading verses 1 through 21 of John 3. Let us give ear now to the reading of the Word of God. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, but no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except you be born of water and of the Spirit, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and not heareth the sound thereof, but cannot tell when it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto you, we speak that which we know, and we testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. But if I told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how can ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man has ascended into heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Let me pause here. Take a little bit of water. Thank you. 15th. And whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, and neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Now may the Holy Spirit, which inspired John to write these words without error, grant to our hearts understanding of this passage of his word. Let's go before the throne of grace. O Father, we come to you in Jesus' name and in his righteousness. We do pray, O Father, that thou would illumine our minds to the text, that we might rightly understand it and be faithful in application. We pray, O Father, that Christ would be exalted in the preaching of the word. We ask this prayer in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. I've entitled this sermon, The Teacher Did Not Know the Basics. And I have 5 points. I draw your attention to the 10th verse, which is our text. Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Now, actually, what the text says is, You are the teacher of Israel. Now, Dr. Ball in his beginning Greek, says that Jesus was aspirated with him because he did not understand the teaching of the new birth. So Jesus says to him, you are, emphasizing, you are, then he says, the teacher, not one among many, but you are the teacher of Israel. You are numero uno. You are the teacher. You the teacher. The teacher. You do not understand these things. And Jesus is saying to him, you who are the teacher should have learned this in kindergarten, and here you are the teacher and you do not understand the new birth. Now this teaching of the new birth is stated several times in the New Testament. If you have pencil and paper, 2 Corinthians 5:17, Galatians 6:15, Ephesians 4:24, and Colossians 3:10. We will only look up one of these. The one that I pick is the Ephesians passage. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Ephesians 4:24. Ephesians 4:24. But that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. No one disagrees about the teaching in the New Testament. That is clear. But we want to ask Nicodemus, Nicodemus, do you understand the new birth is in the Old Testament? Do you understand that? And we say to ourselves, if you do not, shame on you. I'm going to draw your attention only to one passage, but I'll give you four that you can look up if you are interested. The first is Deuteronomy 36. Second, Jeremiah 4:4. Ezekiel 11:19. Ezekiel 36:26. So what I will do is I will just turn to Ezekiel because there are two passages. I draw your attention to Ezekiel 11:19. Ezekiel 11:19. But I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of their flesh, and I will give them a heart of flesh. That's Ezekiel 11:19. Now turn in your Bibles with me to Ezekiel 36:26. Then I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from your filthiness, and from your idols will I cleanse you. That is It's Ezekiel 36:26. Reading the 26th verse now. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. Not only do we have a clear teaching of being born again in the Old Testament, but we have examples. And we say to Nicodemus, do you at least understand the examples of the doctrine of the new birth? So I draw your attention to Ezekiel 37. Now, this is a passage that is clear, I would say, to all of you here this evening. It is a passage of the dead bones. These dead, dry bones. And God took those bones, put them together, and put flesh upon them, and they became a people. But you see, I believe that Ezekiel 37 is a clear teaching of the new birth. These were dead. Now they are alive. How are they made alive? By the new birth. So I believe from Ezekiel 37 that it is a clear teaching. Also, there's another example of the new creatures, and this is found in Numbers 14:29. Numbers 14:29. Reading now, 14th chapter, 29. Your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. What Moses is saying here is to the children of Israel, we must begin again. We must have a new people who will be obedient. And therefore, Moses says, under the command of God, only those who are 20 years of age and younger will be able to enter the kingdom of heaven. Will be able to enter Israel. It must be a new people. If you are 21, you don't make it. If you're 20, you have a new chance. And I believe this new chance is a picture of the new birth. Now, turn with me to Hosea. As you're turning to the Hosea, I'm sure I can have you familiar with the second chapter of Hosea. What we have here in the second chapter of Hosea is this woman who is born very, very poor. She becomes a young lady, then she rebels, and then God cleanses her and makes her a new creature. But you see, it's from filth to life. From filth to life. Again, I believe it is a picture of the new birth. And then the last one I draw your attention to is Amos 3:12. Then saith the Lord, the shepherd shall take out of the mouth of the lion two legs, or a piece of an ear, and the children of Israel shall be taken out that dwell in Samaria, in the couch of a bed, and Damascus a couch. So in order for Israel to live again, there will be a remnant, but it will be a small remnant, and as Amos says, it will be two legs and a piece of an ear. The remnant, but it is the remnant. And so we say, Nicodemus, you have all these facts. What is the problem? What is the problem? You have the new birth. You have the illustrations of the new birth, but you don't understand the new birth. Now, why is it, Nicodemus, that you do not understand the new birth? It may be oversimplification. It may be. But I believe Nicodemus' main problem was that he did not understand total depravity. I believe that was his basic problem. Turn with me, if you would, to Genesis 2:17. This is Genesis 2:17. But the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest of it, thou shalt surely die. Not only means physical death, but physical death, but spiritual death. They will die. Why did not Nicodemus understand that? Then I'll draw your attention to one more. This is found in the book of the Psalms, the 51st Psalm. 51st Psalm, 5th verse. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Now, other passages that teach the same teaching is Genesis 6:5, Psalms 53:3, in Isaiah 64:6, teaching of total depravity. For an illustration, the Lord has been very, very good to me in many and various ways. I had this Toyota, had 300,000 miles on it, and when I come in from Calipatria from the desert, started heating up on me, and I said, it's time to get a new car after 300,000 miles, even for a Scotsman, a Scotch Irishman. So I go to the dealer, and there's this thing of beauty. It is a thing of beauty. It's out there in the parking lot now. Two-door Toyota. I really ought not to have it. but it is a thing of beauty. And I was backing it up in the driveway, and I hit the cement wall, and I got scratches on it. Now, if I wanted to, I could take some paint and I could cover them up, but it's remind me of my stupidity. So I need that. However, there are other people who have a wreck and it's total. You can't save anything. Nothing can be saved. It is total. And I believe that what Nicodemus is saying, oh, I just got a few scratches. I know I'm not perfect. And God says, it's worse than that. You're totally out. You're total. Total depravity. And you see, Nicodemus either did not understand it, or he would not allow himself to understand it. No parts can be salvaged. We must be clear when we present the gospel of Jesus Christ that we are clear to the unbeliever that he is totally under sin. And for him to come to Christ, he must be born again. Now, what are the signs of the new birth? Well, the signs of the new birth is conviction of sin. Now, I want to draw your attention this evening to Psalms 34:18. This is Psalms 34:18. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as to be of a contrite spirit. A contrite spirit. When we talk to somebody about the Lord, we want to see a contrite spirit. We want to see an individual that is concerned about the fact that he is born in sin and that he is in rebellion against God. Not only that, not only must there be conviction of sin, but I draw your attention to 1 Peter, the 1 Peter 2:2, which I believe that most of you have memorized. 2:2. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. I'm sure that many of you have had the same opportunity that I've had. You go to an individual and you present the gospel, and it seems to you that there is awakening in his mind or in his heart. You think that maybe he is really concerned, and so you ask him politely, is it all right if I come back next week and we can start a Bible study? And they say, fine. And you know, you go home just delighted that you have the opportunity to present the gospel to them. They have been such of a mind that they would invite you back to begin a Bible study, because you know that when you get to the Bible study, that you can teach them more fully and give them a better understanding. And so the next week is appointed. And you knock at the door, and there's no one there. And you knock, and no one's there. Because you see, they weren't really under the conviction of the power of the Holy Spirit. You thought they were, but they weren't. They weren't. And that's very frustrating to a believer, that when he presents the gospel, and you think somebody is really interested, but when you ask them to come the next week and they're not there, you know that they were leading you the wrong path. But even with that, we must not be discouraged. We must not be discouraged in the presentation of the gospel. I have been greatly encouraged last week in a newspaper, in the inside page, it talks about 500 years John Calvin is popular. And I looked at that. And I looked at that. And this is what it says in this article. 4,000 young people went to Palm Springs to be instructed in the theology of Jonathan Edwards. Now, if they had named somebody besides Jonathan Edwards, I mean, that's pure biblical teaching. And these 4,000 young people go to Palm Springs to be instructed in the theology of Jonathan Edwards. Now, I do not believe in miracles, but that's getting awful close. That's getting awful close. That 4,000 young people would go and be instructed. And they even talk about total depravity in this article. You see, I have prayed, you have prayed, we have prayed for revival. It's one thing this nation is desperately in need of, is revival. And we pray for revival. But I think sometimes when we pray, we don't really believe that He's going to answer. Because we're so sick, you know, how can we live again? But God in His mercy is working in all people, young people. You expect maybe middle-aged people to get excited about the gospel. But young people are getting excited about the gospel. So you and I as believers, I believe that we should be in prayer for our young people. There seems to be a movement among young people, not only to study scriptures, but study one of the greatest minds that the United States has ever produced, namely Jonathan Edwards. So let us not be discouraged. Let us not be discouraged. God is not dead. He is alive. And we must be clear in our presentation of the gospel. We must be clear to them that they are lost sinners in no way of hope except by the new birth. You must be born again. So let us, as the people of God, be encouraged in this day in which we live. That I believe the spirit of revival is moving in our nation at a desperate time of our nation when the leaders are leading us the wrong direction. Let's be zealous in our evangelism when we present the gospel. Let us be clear that there must be repentance. There must be a desire to read and study God's Word and to be a part of the body of Christ and to attend the preaching of the Word. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we come to You this evening rejoicing in Christ our Savior. We do thank You that Christ came to save us, to give us the new birth, that we might live for Him. Oh, Father, encourage us this evening to be strong in Christ. Let us not have the feeling of being defeated, for we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Let's believe this, O Father, that we are more than conquerors. Let us be zealous for the Lord Jesus, seeking the lost and pointing them to Christ. And we pray for those, O Father, who have assembled this evening. We pray for those who are in Christ, that You would strengthen them. But we'd also remember those who have assembled themselves here this evening, who have not accepted Christ as their personal Savior, that they are still in their sins, and they are under the judgment of God. Would You pray, O Father, that Thou would work in their lives, grant unto them a new heart and a new spirit, that they might respond to the glorious gospel of Christ. And O Father, this evening also, we remember those who are in Christ, but at this particular time, they are not being steadfast. They are practicing sins without repentance. They are at ease in Zion. Oh, Father, awaken them. Awaken them that they might be alive in Christ, that they might repent of their sins and receive daily forgiveness through Christ. Oh, Father, bless Your word, for You ask it in Christ's name. Amen.